Welcome to Healthline 3. I'm Jade Biloxa. We are talking about advances in cataract surgery. Doctors Christopher Shelby and Weish Coleman III with WKI Institute are here to talk all about it. And thank you to you both for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah. And so remember to call us with your questions at 318-219-4569. And let's start with the basics, of course. Tell us, what is a cataract?
You know, a cataract is a clouding of your natural lens that occurs over time. It's like taking a clear glass of water, slowly pouring Coca-Cola in it. And that happens to everyone. Once you reach the age of 40 or 50, there's probably some cloudiness to everybody's lens, but the main thing that you notice is the lens gets physically harder then, and that's when most people need reading glasses. You know, when we're young, your lens is like a crystal clear bag full of Jell-O. It has a huge ability to change shape, and that's when you can see far, and you can see right here and everywhere in between. As you get older, that point that you can focus up close gets further and further away. I'm 43, it's getting further. You know, pretty soon I'll need a pair of reading glasses to bring things in focus up close. The next step in that progression is when the lens becomes cloudy enough to where you're not getting enough light in the back of the eye to have adequate vision, even with glasses or contact lenses. When you get to the point where you don't see as well as you need to do the things that you need to do on a daily basis with glasses or contacts, that's when you need cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Shelby, what happens if you don't get it corrected?
Well, if you don't have cataract surgery, your vision just continues to get blurrier and blurrier and blurrier. You know, the beauty about cataracts is it's one of the most common causes of decreased vision, but it's completely 100% curable. You know, we recommend doing them sooner rather than later. So when somebody begins to have symptoms of the cataract that begin to affect the activities of daily living, your quality of life, you don't see as well at night, you know, you have trouble reading small print and dim situations, there's a lot of glare, it's time to have cataract surgery. Because if you wait a long time, kind of like Dr. Coleman was saying, the lens physically gets denser and denser. And so somebody who, like say a young diabetic, we take their cataract out, it literally is like sucking Jell-O through a straw. When they get really hard, we actually call them Coca-Cola cataracts because they become so dense and brown, it is literally like chipping away at marble. You know, we use an ultrasound to break up that cataract. It becomes physically denser. That actually can lead to a higher incidence of complications like swelling and things like that. And so waiting too long can be detrimental. I mean, It's hard to do that. You know, we generally recommend having them out sooner rather than later, but you don't want to wait too long to have cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm. So what age is typical to remove them?
It's a big continuum. And, you know, Dr. Reddins, who taught us to do cataract surgery, always described your natural lens and the cataract as a biological barometer. So people who have chronic disease and long-term health problems tend to get cataract surgery earlier and have cataracts form earlier. People who are lucky and are healthy their whole life, some of them make it into their 80s, but the average is 69 in the United States. Mm-hmm. As cataract surgery has progressively gotten better and safer, that age has progressively come down. You know, 50 years ago, when cataract surgery took an hour to do and you had to spend a week in the hospital with your head sandbagged and put a lot of sutures in, they would wait till the cataract got very bad. That's still the case in third world countries. Where they don't have techniques that are as advanced. You wait till the cataract gets very bad before you take it out. As cataract surgery's progressively gotten better and more precise, now it's not uncommon to have someone come in and say, hey, I want LASIK, I want to get free from glasses and contacts. And we take the measurements on their eyes and we say, you know, based on the measurements of your eyes, your refractive status and your age, you may be a better candidate for just an elective cataract surgery. We call that a refractive lens exchange. But if you watch a video of a refractive lens exchange and a cataract surgery, they are identical. It's just where you're doing it electively before insurance would pay for a medically necessary cataract surgery. So that's common now. There's a lot of crossover between LASIK and cataract surgery because cataract surgery, in terms of accuracy and likelihood of leaving you glasses independent afterwards, is very, very close to LASIK, within a percent or two of the accuracy. Mm-hmm. So those two things are merging, and they'll continue to merge in the future as time goes on. I think that probably, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, we might do lens-based surgery on everyone, like, you know, a cataract-type surgery, and maybe LASIK is the same thing of the past. It's still the gold standard. You don't have to go in the eye. It's, you know, a less complicated procedure than cataract surgery. So it's still the favorite procedure, but I could see a world where we do lens-based surgery for refractive purposes. So when people come in and they want to get free from glasses, that's the preferred method. We already do some of that with what's called an implantable contact lens, an ICL. And typically it's used on people who are extremely nearsighted or people who, for other reasons, are not a candidate for LASIK. And you can correct, you know, people to 20/20 without glasses, even who have extreme nearsightedness. Like, let's say like a, you know, an average prescription would be maybe a -3. These are people who are like a -20, mm-hmm. who, you know, literally run into a wall when they wake up in the morning if they don't have their glasses or contacts handy. So we can correct those people now with this implantable contact lens. That technology's gotten better. More people are a better candidate for that than LASIK in some cases now. So, you know, technology in ophthalmology makes rapid advancements, so it's pretty exciting to be on the front end of it.
Mm-hmm. So get your questions in, 318-219-4569. 318-219-4569.
We do love callers.
Yeah, we do. We'd love to hear from you. So at what point does insurance pay for the surgery?
Generally when, so the vision has to be around 2040 or worse, and, okay. and that's, a lot of this is arbitrary. I mean, so you can actually see 20/20, like we test you in the room, but you're debilitated by glare, like at nighttime when you're driving. And so we actually will do glare testing, and it's amazing to watch the vision go from around 20/20. You know, it's not crystal clear. It's kind of cloudy and fuzzy because you have these cataracts. But when there's a little bit of light coming in, it drops that vision dramatically. Because, you know, the cataract, what's happening is that instead of light focusing as a sharp point onto the retina, that cataract causes light to scatter. Like, if you ever, you know, you got a dirty windshield and you're leaving work and you turn into the sun and it just glares mm-hmm. out because all that light washes out. That's what happens with cataracts. And so when a patient gets to that point where they're glaring down, they're afraid to get out at nighttime. They can't do these things, like I was saying earlier, you know, these activities of daily living become more difficult. Then it becomes an insurance issue. And then we can say, okay, you know, Miss Jones has cataracts bad enough to where she glares down to this point, the quality of life is decreased, then insurance will generally pay for it.
Okay, all right, good deal. So, okay, when you're examining someone, could they have like one or two cataracts in their eyes? Or,
well, we say cataracts plural because, you know, you have two eyes. Mm-hmm. So typically you have them about equal in both. You know, a cataract is a clouding of the lens. You only have one lens in your eye. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have two cataracts in one eye. You know, it would just be a clouding of the lens. We okay. say cataracts because usually you have them in both. You've only got one lens. You know, a common question when somebody comes in for, you know, LASIK and we end up doing a refractive lens exchange and we say we're going to do this because you've been very farsighted your whole life. You've never been a good candidate for LASIK and you're 50 years old, but you want to get out of these glasses and be free from glasses, not only for distance, but also for intermediate and near, and basically never wear them again. Many times we do a refractive lens exchange. The common question is, well, what happens when I get a cataract? Well, after that, you're never going to get a cataract because we're going to take your natural lens out. That's where the cataract forms. So that's no longer a possibility. So, you know, the reason that we would do that in someone who's not a great candidate for LASIK or who is on the edge of the age spectrum for cataract surgery, let's say somebody's 60 or 65, even though they don't have a cataract that's affecting their vision much, you really don't want to go do LASIK now and then come back 2 or 3 years later and then do cataract surgery.
Yeah.
You've now done two procedures to get to the same point that you could have gotten to with one procedure. So, you know, that's where your natural lens forms. The cloudiness in it is a cataract. Once we take it out, it's gone forever.
Okay. So yeah, it won't come back. Okay.
Right.
So Eileen's on the phone. Eileen, what is your question?
Yes, ma'am. I had my regular eye checkup back in April. And around June, I had a film come over my left eye. And whenever I look out the left eye, it's blurry. And I just want to know what could that be, because they said I had cataracts, but they said they weren't that bad.
So it's probably the cataract, most likely. You know, the cataracts are not a static thing, so they progress and they get worse over time. And if you haven't had cataract surgery yet, and you were told you had cataracts in April, but they're not quite ready, and in June you ended up getting some filminess in one eye, especially if it's constant and it's not one of those things that fluctuates, the most likely thing is that cataract has gotten a little bit worse. Ma'am, go ahead.
I also went, because the film had come over my eye, I had went and seen them in, around September the 27th, and they checked my eyes and everything, said the cataracts that they had diagnosed me with, they were the same, they couldn't figure out what this film was. They said, is there different types of cataracts?
There can be different types of opacities in the lens. So when you, like Dr. Coleman was saying, a cataract is a clouding of your lens. And as that lens begins to thicken, it'll create the natural, what we call a nuclear sclerotic cataract, which is a density of the center of the lens. You can get a haze on the back part of the lens. You can develop bubbles within it. Those are all part of the same type of cataract. And when that happens, depending on which one it is, it can create that filminess that you're describing. You know, and in their defense, there's a lot of things that can create a film over the eyes. And generally, we can see what that is based on the exam. And all things being equal, if there's nothing new that's creating any problems, it most likely is the subtle changes of the cataract itself causing your vision to worsen.
Okay. I really wasn't paying attention when he told me, but it was some kind of cataract that started with a P. Is there something?
Yes, ma'am. It's posterior subcapsular cataract, and those classically get a lot worse a lot faster. So we'll see patients in January that have an early PSC, posterior subcapsular cataract, and then by March, their vision can have dramatically decreased.
Okay.
And they're honestly the most symptomatic ones that we see.
Okay, darling, I thank you for taking my questions.
All right, hopefully that answers your question. Thank you.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, that really was.
You know, that's one that occurs relatively commonly. You know, we see somebody come in with a subtle posterior subcapsular cataract, and you say, this doesn't look that bad to me. You know, on exam, it's very subtle, but the rest of the eye is totally fine. The person doesn't see well. They're not driving at night comfortably, or they're unable to drive at night. And if there's nothing else going on with the eye, the solution is usually take out the posterior subcapsular cataracts. You have people, it looks very minimal to us. Mm-hmm. On exam, but it's affecting the person a lot. And if there's no other problems, typically taking out the cataract solves the problem completely. So that's a pretty common thing where they've seen the eye doctor and they say, well, it doesn't look that bad. I see a little bit of it. And, you know, we agree when we see them for a surgical eval, but in the absence of any other cause, you know, cataract surgery is the simplest possible solution. It's also nice to rule out, you know, other things being a cause of decreased vision. And sometimes, you know, rather than doing $1 million workup, if you have some degree of cataract, it makes more sense to do the simple solution first and see if the problem still exists. And most of the time, it does not. So yeah. I would encourage her to, you know, move towards having cataract surgery. If they've said you have a small posterior subcapsular cataract present and you're not seeing as good as you need to and the rest of the eye looks totally normal, the solution is very likely cataract surgery.
How fast can a cataract progress?
Pretty quickly. Like I was saying, I mean, especially with a posterior subcapsular cataract, you can get one, and when we've seen them to where we see them 1 month, let's say January, and by that summer, their vision's gone from about 20/20 to 20/400. They can get really bad really quickly. And so that's why I say, even though most cataracts, it's a slow progression over time, sometimes you can get a rapid progression of a cataract, which is kind of nice, you know, because then it's definitive. Like you take this thing out, put a new lens in, and it's actually amazing how much better people will see.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was saying, you know, these subtle cataracts, all things being equal, if the eye looks normal and you've got cataracts and you've got cloudy vision, that's what's going on, mm-hmm. until proven otherwise.
Explain to me the cloudy vision part. I mean, describe to me what people see. I mean, you explained the Coke bottle aspect, but I mean, what does that look like? Like if people are, I mean, what is someone's, what is their vision like?
I may have to tell you in 30 years.
Okay.
Shelby can tell us sooner, you know, he's 10 years older,
yeah.
8 years older. I don't know. I'm hearing it subjectively like everyone else is, like the, you know, like the caller say, you know, you have different levels of symptoms. So
yeah,
you have, this is a common thing that people come in and they got three pairs of glasses. And when you walk in and they got three pairs of glasses in their lap,
oh,
and they're, you know, the age range for cataract surgery, you know, 60 to 80, and they say, well, I keep getting these glasses. Nobody can make me a good pair of glasses, and I want you to make me a good pair of glasses.
Okay.
And what you probably know, you know, if everything else in the eye looks normal, it is the cataract causing the problem at that point. You know, some people say, I see great in the daytime. I have terrible vision at night. They have glare and halo around headlights at night, and that's their main symptom. the thing that we hear from golfers a lot is that they can't see their ball after they hit it. And so, you know, that's the only thing they notice. Everything else, like, yeah, I'm reading fine, I'm driving fine. But, you know, when I hit the ball, I have no clue where it went until I go find it on the golf cart or somebody tells me where it went. So the symptoms are very variable. And, you know, you see people with we talk about different types of cataracts. It doesn't really matter what type of cataract you have. The treatment's the same. Mm-hmm. It's cataract surgery, typically. But what she was talking about is a specific type, a posterior subcapsular cataract. And so commonly those people, they'll have a little subtle cataract, but they'll be looking just beside it. Let's imagine you're looking 1 millimeter beside it, so it's not right in the middle of your vision. And then suddenly it progresses just 1 millimeter over, and now it's right in the middle. Now it's causing you a big problem. And every now and then you see somebody with a mature white cataract. It's like like where their pupil's white, where you can just see it sitting here looking at someone. And they say, I woke up this morning and my vision was bad. And last night when I went to bed, my vision was good. Well, you know, that thing didn't really just form overnight, but for some reason they suddenly noticed it. And why that happens, I don't think we have a great explanation, because some people, maybe they just happen to cover one eye and just happen to notice this eye is very bad suddenly. But, you know, if you're noticing a decrease in your vision, you know, there's no other cause. Cataract surgery is probably the solution.
Do people usually get them in just one eye first, or?
No, it's usually both eyes together.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those natural progressions. But what we will see is that, you know, they'll be loping along, they'll doing fine. And we'll see some patients whose vision's 20/40 with these cataracts, they're not complaining. So it's like, okay, we still see well enough to drive. But what'll happen is one will begin to get a little bit worse than the other one. And then they'll begin to lose depth perception. And that's a lot of times what we'll see when patients come in and say, suddenly I can't see. And it's like Dr. Coleman said, it's mainly because, you know, they're covering one eye, they're checking one against the other one. My uncle, who's an anesthesiologist down in South Louisiana, almost got sideswiped, and he realized when he checked both eyes, and he had a white cataract in one eye. But using both eyes together, you know, he thought he was seeing pretty well, but it wasn't until he checked and he realized he couldn't see that well out of one eye that he's like, oh my God, I gotta do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's, we generally walk around with both eyes together and we don't do this and this.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, because after cataract surgery, between the one eye and the second eye, when I'm talking to patients before we do the second eye, they're like, it is amazing. You know, when I cover, they'll spend that first week doing this and this. And what a lot of them will say is like, you know, I cover the unoperated eye and everything's white and colorful and bright. And then I cover the one you've done surgery on, and it's like the...
Haven't done surgery on.
Oh, they haven't done surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
Done surgery on, but they look through the one that hasn't had surgery, and it's like a sepia filter, you know, in the world of Instagram nowadays, you know. And they didn't realize it. They didn't realize that until that first eye is done.
Okay. All right. So call us with your questions, 318-219-4569. Okay, so yeah, there's different lens choices. I mean, I'm sure with the technology and all the choices,
it gets complicated.
It's hard to make a choice here. So what do we need to do?
Well, you probably need some guidance from somebody who knows what they're doing. I would say, you know, whenever somebody comes in for a cataract eval, we try to say, what's the best way to get you glasses independent at the time of cataract surgery? And we're taking a bunch of measurements, and we're looking at objective data to say, what can you not have? There's some people who are not a candidate for a multifocal lens at all. There's some people who have very high amounts of astigmatism that are not correctable with anything but an astigmatism correcting lens. There's some people who've had previous RK or LASIK surgery, and they're probably a better candidate for a light adjustable lens. So you're usually looking at those historical pieces of data and then measurements we take in the office. And I think we take this as detailed a measurements as anybody who does cataract surgery in the world does. We're taking all that and saying, what are you a candidate for? Now, then we've got to merge that with what people want, because, you know, if you're an airline pilot or an over-the-road trucker that drives at night, then we probably really want to focus on a distance target and say, let's make sure that you see as good as you can possibly see at distance, and if you have to wear readers to see up close, so be it. Then if you're a lawyer that reads 10 hours a day and you want glasses independence for that in the computer, well, a multifocal lens makes more sense there. Now, if you're someone who's had, you know, RK surgery 30 years ago, then probably neither one of those things are a great idea. The light adjustable lens is better because we can fine tune it after the surgery's over with. And those are people that we would not be able to go and touch up with LASIK like we could someone who's never had RK surgery. So the light adjustable lens is probably a better choice for them. So it depends on a lot of factors. And I think that the main takeaway is that you want to gather as much data as possible to give you the best possible, the best chance of making the correct decision and leaving someone with the maximum level of glasses independence after cataract surgery.
Okay.
And the maximum visual quality.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Okay, Kevin is on the phone right now. Kevin, what's your question?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, I'm a regular there. I will go all the way back to the RK days, and Miss Lee is just like family. And I was going there back in, I believe it was 84, and you guys corrected my vision then. I was there the other day and thought I had a problem with the lens, but there's an issue that I hope you guys can kind of touch on. It's the floaters that are a separate total issue, not from you guys doing the lens. You know, you took my cataracts out, and my vision is so much better. But now at 62, I've got some floaters that I'll probably have you guys address, you know, bombard them or whatever you do. But that may be something you kind of want to touch on so that if anybody's having those kind of problems. I was blaming the lens, and no, the lens are perfect, and I've got perfect vision. It's just, of, you know, the floaters. But, oh, by the way, Doc, I was going to... if I got to see you the other day, I was going to see what kind of socks you had. And
it's always suspenseful.
Yeah, it's always suspenseful. These are my Bitcoin socks. And, you know, it's black and orange, so it's kind of, it's Halloween, you know, that time of year. So.
Yes, there you go. But I tell you what, it was great to see Miss Lee the other day. And like I said, she's like family. And because of the, you know, back from the 80s, I mean, you know, she comforted me then, telling me, you know, hey, on the surgery, you know, it's all going to be okay and everything. I was a little nervous because I was a lot younger then. But anyways, if you could kind of touch on the deal about the floaters.
Sure.
Being a separate issue than my understanding. But you guys are the pros, so if you could touch on that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call. There's a number of things other than the socks that he touched on. You know, number one, the staff that we have is wonderful. And Lee, he's talking about, she is like family. She, you know, we've had a lot of people there a long time. And with these, any type of surgical procedure, when you come in, you know, you're nervous, you're anxious, you don't know what to expect. And all of our staff at all three offices are wonderful about making you feel comfortable and secure and the decisions you're making and the procedure you're about to go through. The floaters, it's actually a great point because when you look at vision, the whole purpose of the eye is to focus light from way out here onto the retina itself. And so it has to pass through the cornea, which is that front clear part, then your lens, which is what we're talking about with cataract surgery, and then it has to go through the vitreous jelly. And so that vitreous jelly is that compartment in the eye between the lens and your retina, the macula in particular, which is the center of your vision, and that light has to go as a sharp point clearly and hit that area, and that's what you perceive as a clear image. And so when the vitreous is not clear or is cloudy or has debris in it, which are floaters, that light can hit that and it can diminish the light, it can cause some distortions, it can cause a blur. And as we get older, that vitreous jelly tends to condense over time. It becomes more fluidic, and so we get these floaters back there, and then the vitreous itself will separate from the back, leaves other types of floaters there. And so that can really decrease vision after cataract surgery, which for us as cataract surgeons is very disheartening because we love a good result, and there's nothing worse than somebody who can see well, but they're bothered by these floaters. So what do? You know, in an ideal world, we would go in and just remove those floaters. That's obviously a little bit easier said than done. And so what we generally do is what we call a vitreolysis, where we can use a laser to break those floaters up and try to clear that pathway through the center of the vitreous to allow good vision. And the vitreolysis actually works very, very well. The vast majority of times, what we're trying to do is make it to where it's 80, 90% better. You know, where people still have some floaters, but they're not bothering them, and it's not distracting from the vision. Sometimes you can have floaters to a point where we do a laser, the vitreolysis doesn't work as well as we want it to, and so then we have our retina colleagues, our retina specialist will actually do a vitrectomy, to where they will go in, they will remove that vitreous jelly, they will remove that floaters, replace it with balanced salt solution, and that clears that the vitreous. Now, that's the last ditch effort, and that's for patients who we've tried everything. And just like with cataracts, their quality of life is diminished because of all these floaters. And so the good news there is there are options for it. Most of the time, the laser works great. Sometimes we have to go with the vitrectomy. But like he asked, I mean, touching on that is important because it's not uncommon for a patient to have a vitreous detachment after cataract surgery. You know, and they're like, well, I didn't see this floater before, and now I have this floater. And, you know, sometimes those floaters will go ahead and settle on their own, but when they don't, they are treatable.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good information there. All right, well, thank you so much for calling, Kevin. And we have Matt on the line, too. Matt, what is your question?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering, can you have cataract surgery more than once?
So, you know, the short answer is no. Once your natural lens is removed, it's gone forever. You know, we put a clear plastic lens in its place, and typically that's a permanent result. It's very common to hear people talk about a secondary cataract. That is somewhat of a misnomer. You know, that's a film on the back of the lens implant that we place at the time of cataract surgery. The cataract is actually surrounded by a thin membrane called the capsule. So when we do cataract surgery, we either use a laser or by hand open a hole in the anterior front portion of that capsule. We remove the cloudy lens through it, put the new lens implant inside that capsule. So if you imagine, you know, your natural lens is maybe 3 to 5 millimeters thick. The older you are, the thicker it is in general. And so you take out a 5 millimeter thick cataract and you place a 0.5 millimeter thick lens implant in. And the radius of curvature of the posterior capsule that we leave intact, it has to become shorter to scar that lens into its new position. And in order to become shorter, it has to wrinkle a little bit to do that. And that's where that's what is the secondary cataract. So every patient with an uncomplicated cataract surgery gets some degree of that. 50% at some point in the future need to have it lasered off because it tends to become a little cloudier over time. So somewhere between 1 month and 10 years out from the original cataract surgery, half of people will need a laser to remove that. Now, that's what, when you hear the term secondary cataract, that's what people are talking about. Now, occasionally, there'll be a need to come back and take the lens out that was placed at the original cataract surgery, at the time of the original cataract surgery, and put a new one in. So that's not truly doing cataract surgery again, that's a lens exchange. Those are rare. They're more common in people who've had previous trauma, people who had cataract surgery 30 plus years ago. Lens design was not as good back then as it is now, so sometimes those lenses slide out of position and become unstable. I do a lot of that. I have a special interest in doing lens exchanges on people who need that. In general, cataract surgery is a one-time thing, and the laser for the secondary cataract takes 1 minute. We do it in the clinic, and you see better that evening in general.
Does that answer
hopefully
your
that
question?
Answers it.
Thank you. Second question.
Okay.
Being nearsighted my entire life, after the cataract surgery, I could see great.
Yep.
At distance. The close-up vision, I'm using reading glasses because it's still blurry. Is that a common factor?
Common. You know, you can choose. If you don't use a multifocal lens, which multifocal lenses are great at solving that problem where you get distance and you get near. Not uncommon for people who are previously nearsighted to say, wow, my vision's great at distance, but now I'm having to wear readers for up close. In general, I think that's preferable because it's nice not to have a pair of glasses that have to be made specifically for you in order to live and drive and watch TV and do distance activities. But it is a complaint, and if you aren't happy with that result, it is possible to do something like monovision and put one eye in focus at near. That's a little bit of a short answer, but I think we've got like 15 seconds before they cut us off here. So we might hit our website, thecataractsurgeons.com. And Dr. Shelby's at Wilsite in Piermont, 212 3937.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.